Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wild Edible World Podcast. I am just one of your hosts, and my name is Michael, but this episode, you can call me the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Hi, how's everybody doing? It's me, your boy Steve, but you can call me the Dios Pyros Maniac. Welcome to episode American Persimmon.
Yes, another native fruit.
And a perfect one for this time of year. They're just now starting to do their thing.
Absolutely, yeah. They're falling from the trees, and got to watch out for that. You think a bird has pooped on you, but really it's this big squishy fruit that's landed on your head. You can only hope to be so lucky.
Freaking hopefully, you know?
So have you had an American persimmon?
I have not.
Oh, okay, cool.
I have not. I've had the Asian variety.
Yep.
And my homeboy Tom that runs Heart and Soil Heirlooms in local to us is the guy that gave me those. And they were lovely. Those are the kind you can buy in like the grocery store and whatnot.
I did buy a couple this year, actually. Yeah. They're pretty good.
But I have not tried these lovelies that are right in front of us.
Yeah, that's it. So this is specifically the binomial that we're going to be describing today is going to be Diosporus. Okay, hold on. All right, so once again, we just want to remind everybody that Latin is a dead language, and nobody can tell you that you're saying it wrong. Diosporus virginiana.
Yeah.
So that's the American persimmon, and this is a native tree, fruit-producing tree that grows pretty much in the entire eastern portion of the U.S., but mostly in the south.
Yeah, like Florida to Connecticut, and then over to, I don't know.
Basically over to the Mississippi, just like a little bit past the Mississippi River. Yeah. I'd say the native wild habitat range ends at about halfway up Illinois.
Yeah.
But I find persimmons up here. They have definitely grown outside of that range, and as we may or may not describe later, there are several different cultivars that have escaped. So it's a little bit more available to find. It might not be exclusively in the eastern half of the U.S. I bet people can find American persimmons over in the west too.
Yeah, especially if you try it real hard.
Yeah, I'm sure there's people growing them, and there's also places like Forge.Market where you can find fruit and get it shipped over to you basically the next day, if that is your thing.
Yeah, hint, hint, Forge.Market. We're looking for sponsors.
Yeah, right? Bring it on. Come on, guys. Help a friend out. Okay, so real quick, before we get started on plant identification, we want to give a shout-out to some potentially new listeners. So
yeah, we just met a couple of, couple of fabulous people, and, you know, oddly enough, so Michael and I do this outdoor thing, and most often it's in a very high traffic area, and they're the first people that have ever said, like, hey, what are you doing?
You working on a podcast? Well, actually, yeah.
So shout out to Luke and Gabby.
Gabby, I believe that was what they said their names were.
Yeah. Very nice to meet you, and I hope you're listening to this like sometime after tomorrow.
Yeah. So thank you to everybody else that has been listening too, as well. Like we mentioned last episode, we have some exciting merch coming our way. Just like a couple more weeks before some pins come in, before we should be able to start offering those. Hopefully that'll give us enough time to figure out how the hell we're going to do it.
Yeah. And then the mad scientist Lewis at Jellyfish Customs is working on some cool stuff for the holiday season.
Some warm, some stuff to keep us cozy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, all right. We're working with Diosporus virginiana.
Diosporus,
as Steve said.
Because I wanted to do the pyromaniac thing. I was just trying to be cute.
I thought that was funny. I thought it was funny.
I liked it too.
So this is a dioecious tree. So, well, mostly dioecious, right? Okay, so there are cultivars that are hermaphroditic, that they don't need pollination at all.
Exactly. So they're able to produce fruit without a pollinator.
Yeah, seedless fruit without a pollinator.
Exactly, yeah.
But you said that they still do better when there's a male tree around,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Even though they're able to produce fruit, it's sparse amongst the tree, but when you have like, you know, seven female trees and one male, they just go nuts.
They all produce better.
Yeah.
Okay. So typically it's dioecious, meaning that it does need both male flowers and female flowers to produce viable fruit, and those will be growing on two separate trees in this case. This isn't, well, it actually, it's kind of a tall tree. So
yeah, they get pretty big.
They can grow up to 60, I think what I've written down, or not written down, but in my notes here, it's 66 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the same thing. Pretty damn tall.
That's pretty. It's a pretty big tree.
You're not going to be able to really get some persimmons from those branches, but you're going to be able to see them, and that's what I think we agreed was the most like recognizable feature. Is you're going to be able to look up and you're going to see these glowing orbs.
Yeah.
Hanging on what is mostly a bare tree this early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that they lose pretty much most of their leaves like, I don't know, before October.
Yeah, at very least, the leaves are like in that green yellowish.
They're very yellow. Yeah. They have started to fall off. So that's the interesting thing about this tree is that the fruit does become pretty exposed.
Yeah,
and you can see it from pretty far away because they are at this like beautiful golden orange, and they have like a cute little tomato hat on them.
Yeah.
It's like a tomato hat.
A calyx.
Oh, a calyx.
Yes.
There we go.
Four-lobed little hat.
Yeah, like a
Good day to you, sir.
A beret.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. It's
beyond the fruit.
Yeah,
so you'll notice the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It's super way up high.
Yeah.
If this is a giant tree.
If you wanted to double check that it is a persimmon, I think the next thing you'd look at is the bark.
The bark, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So, what animal? What do you think the bark?
Dragons.
Dragons. Okay, I was going to say crocodiles, which is not too far.
Yeah, that's probably better. I've just been watching a lot of HBO lately.
Yeah, so. We're dragon pilled. So, yeah, it does have a very reptilian bark.
Sure.
With deep crevices, and I was mentioning earlier that if I were just kind of like walking casually along, and I wasn't necessarily looking for a persimmon, and I was just kind of like noting things out of my periphery, I would probably mistake a persimmon for like a oak tree just because the patterns are kind of similar. Like I said, a very passive glance, I think I might be able to mistake them just to give you an idea on the patterning. But they're much deeper and thicker, and they're not as long of segments. So that it's more like
for sure.
A little bit more rectangular than... well, I guess more square than it is long rectangles.
Yeah, they are very, very akin to scales. So.
Yeah, super scaly.
Yeah.
So the leaves, I mean, beyond that, the leaves are pretty simple.
Yeah, you're looking for something non-serrated.
Yeah.
Oval to egg-shaped to, yeah, anything in that realm.
Nice pointy tip.
Yeah, nice pointy tip.
Yeah, and again, they do fall off really early, so... It's a tree that's going to be kind of bare bare earlier than the rest of the trees around it. 66 feet tall, but a lot of them aren't that tall.
Yeah.
I have seen, like, the one I've collected off of one tree in the wild. I know there's one around Lincoln Park that I've directed some people to that I actually haven't been to myself. I just know it's there, and I know it produces good fruit. But the ones that I've collected off of have been pretty dang tall,
which is kind of a benefit. So
yeah,
these fruit aren't truly edible until they're almost like beyond the point of ripeness.
Yep.
I mean they're not dangerous or anything. They just don't taste very good. So they can be very astringent up until the point where they're like overly soft. Basically to the point where Michael's got them in front of us, which are just like beautiful, deep, almost like a sunburnt orange.
Yeah, they've gotten pretty dark.
Yeah, and they look like they're prime, like they're ready to go.
Yeah, you're going to want them nice and squishy. That's giving the sugars on the inside plenty of time to fully develop and finish. So these have been aging for about a week now.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been sitting, waiting, wishing... by Jack Johnson. No, I processed most of them into a fruit leather that we were sampling earlier about 5-6 days, like almost a week ago. So pretty shortly after we got them. It was one of the first things I processed whenever I picked up a bunch of fruit from the farm that I went to. And they were fine. They were delicious then, mm-hmm. Which was pretty soon off of the tree. And even whenever we were there picking them, we were sampling some of them off the tree. I will advise against picking them off the tree to most casual foragers, but once you get an idea of how soft the fruit is, and even then, I mean, so this is just such a crazy fruit. It can be so soft, it could be on the tree, it could be falling off the tree, and it's like super mushy, and you bite it, and it's still going to be pretty astringent. Mm-hmm. So it really depends on the tree, on the time of year, and it's another one of those just kind of bite, like, take a nibble and see where we are, and kind of plan accordingly, because sometimes they're going to be really sweet and sometimes they're not. Fortunately for us, they were all very, very sweet, and I think these are just going to be even better, but we'll probably slurp on those in the second half. What else have we got for the first half?
So you don't want them until they're very
Want them until they've basically fallen. Right, that's what you were saying.
Possum apples. They're called possum apples. It's another cute
Different colloquial names. Okay, so yeah, there's possum apples, sugar plums, which can be kind of misleading. I thought it was really funny to find that out, but I did do a little bit of research to make sure whether or not that had anything to do with the Christmas song or the Christmas story. The kids were dreaming of sugar. Oh, wait, that was the Nutcracker. Sugar plum fairies and all that. And no, that's just a candy. And but I like to think that they were dreaming of persimmons, because that's the kind of person I am right now.
Yeah, I would dream persimmons.
But I do love that they're called sugar plums. I think that's a really funny, that's a kind of a simplistic way of looking at it. Like, yeah, they're kind of plum-shaped, they're kind of plum-textured, and they are, like, far sweeter than any plum I've ever had.
For sure.
Yeah. But We'll give that a shot later, and we'll see. We'll get Steve's opinion on what he thinks about how sweet they are. As far as the first half of this episode, I think that's all we should try and fit in here.
About wraps it up.
Know what the tree looks like. It grows biggest in the Mississippi River Basin, so wetland areas are where it's going to do
well draining
the best. Yeah, well draining areas is where you can find it. You can actually kind of find it planted intentionally in metropolitan areas. So, like I said, I found one in Lincoln Park, which is basically Chicago. It's basically in the city. It's by the Brookfield Zoo. Mm-hmm. So it's not like in the middle of nowhere. It's in a pretty densely populated area. And the same with the ones I've collected before. It was just kind of like along the street, and I just happened to be driving by, and I noticed that there's some smushed stuff in the street. And as you know, as somebody who's always got the foraging lenses on, I'm like, "Ooh, smushed fruit! Like, what could be there?" So I got to get out and check. And sure enough, it was persimmons that were just perfect for picking. So,
and they are super popular as far as like permacultures and like permaculture forests, because they, you know, you can find those cultivars that are fruiting without a pollinator, blah blah blah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there has been a lot of like really interesting development done on, like, as far as like the plant science is concerned.
Might find them where you least expect it.
Yeah, exactly. They do grow out of their expected wild range, thanks to us humans. That's woohoo! Nice. All right, so we're gonna do an ad break. Thanks for listening to our show once again. Just endlessly grateful.
Thank you.
This episode.
Thank you.
See you next time. And we're back with the second half. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for listening to our ad. Yes. I'm your sugar plum fairy.
It's such a good ad, though. Like, it's almost a pleasure to listen to every time.
And it's free.
Totally free. Yeah.
You can tell how stunned we were that we got it right the first time by the moment of silence that happened immediately afterwards. The stunned silence of us both. But yeah. What's your name, Steve?
Dios Pyros Maniac.
Yeah, dog.
Especially after this, especially after trying this. Like, yeah. I'm so pumped.
So we got our first little nibbles of the American
persimmon. We took a little nibble just to like prep ourselves.
But, so this is so squishy. There's about like 6 seeds in here. They're really flat. Side note, the seeds were actually used as buttons by the South during the Civil War, which regardless of a political affiliation, I always think like using wild food like that is pretty dang cool.
So just to start, the smell, man. The smell that I get off of this is almost like citrusy, like a tangerine or uh-huh. like,
yeah, man, tangerine
the,
for
the,
sure.
The smell is just wonderful.
Yeah.
And what do you think? You want to do this?
Yeah. I've already been like licking it a little bit, and it is so insanely sweet, like. I don't think I've ever let persimmons quite like age quite this long.
Oh damn!
But they are so sweet. Oh.
You know, but like sweet in the best way. So
mm-hmm. yeah, it's like tangy, like you said. It's tangerine-y. Yeah. Like it's almost
this doesn't,
citrusy.
To me, this doesn't taste like a sugar bomb. You know?
Oh no.
Like it tastes like I don't know, like caramel mm-hmm. and orange and mm-hmm. maybe just like a little bit of mango on the back end.
I'm getting really surprised by the yeah. orange notes in this. It yeah. really is kind of like citrusy. Well, okay, so one of the nutrition facts, like there's not too much impressive to say about this fruit. I don't know what you.
Yeah, it's not like a nutritional powerhouse, but
it's got a pretty good amount of vitamin C.
Heck yeah, yeah.
Which does stay retained like through this aging process. Like I can taste it. It's really good.
Absolutely. These seeds are cool.
Nice big cool seeds. Yeah, they're almost like big fat pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, it's like it's very interesting. I don't know. It almost looks like a slightly deformed like guitar pick, but like
small, oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, these are cool. Heck yeah, dude. This fruit is fantastic. So I don't know. I can't describe it. Caramel. Mm-hmm. Caramel's all I'm getting.
It's like caramel covered more. Orange.
Yeah. I want to find these, you know, growing wild somewhere.
Yeah, I imagine the taste is going to vary a little bit because the persimmons I found last year, I was only okay with, like, and I could only find, like, 2, and they had already fallen on the ground, and I didn't know how long they had been there, but they weren't, like, ruptured or anything.
Sure.
So it was right at about this time, so I think now is the perfect time to be getting out there and looking for it. You can check apps or websites like fallenfruit.org or like iNaturalist. Try and find some persimmon trees around you, or do what I did and take the easy way and find like a farm or a foraging website like forage.market. Wink, 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 hint, hint. That can provide you with some like really cool persimmons, so you guys can try this while you listen to us.
These are freaking great, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to make like a, I don't know, like a hard candy with it or something with that flavor.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like a gummy or something. These are great. This must be like a really weird part for the listeners here where like you and I are just like, fuck yeah, this thing's great. And you guys are like, oh, cool, man. Yeah, thanks. I'll just go get that persimmon.
You're right. So here's the time where I talk about what I've done with the fruit personally and what you can do with that as well. We'll just get this last seed out of my mouth, this last tangy goodness. So my wife made a really, really awesome persimmon brownie. And so that was a really cool recipe that you can find online. If you guys are taking notes, which I don't imagine anybody is, but we're not really good with our show notes. If you go to Ellen Zachos' website, so her last name is Z-A-C-H-O-S. You go to her website, and she's got tons of recipes for free. She loves giving away free stuff, just like we do. And she's got a crazy cool American persimmon brownie recipe. And that's basically just like a bunch of persimmon pulp, brownie mix. There's like oats. And then what we did is we cut the amount of oats in half and then added autumn olive. Dried olives, and then powderize those and use those instead of the other half of the oats by weight. And then just like chocolate chips, and we added black walnuts. And then you got like a super gourmet, sugar-free persimmon brownie recipe, and you don't need the sugar because these are so dang sweet.
Yeah, they're wonderful, man. I want to try that brownie mm-hmm. for sure. But I'm already done with mine. While you were describing that, I finished my persimmon. Which, so the fruit themselves are about in between like 1 and 2 inches in diameter. And man, just great. They have almost like a, I'm trying to think of what that texture describes.
It's like applesauce.
Reminds me of. Yeah, yeah. Like applesauce, but with like the stringy bits from a mango.
Yeah.
Yeah, just wonderful, man.
Well, and the peel is edible too.
Yeah.
So the peel, I mean, I'm not eating the peel, but that's just because I'm being a finicky.
Yeah, I absolutely ate the peel.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you and one should. You know, it just came, was coming off of the fruit so easily for me. I don't know.
I ate the peel. I saved the seeds. I'm excited to see if I can grow all these things.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody has a farm they want to just give me, I need to, I am going to have that. I'm going to have to have a lot of space to grow all these seeds I'm saving, man.
You're going to have the state's largest in-pot native plant nursery.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. They're so, so good. And, yeah, again, just, like, packed with sugar. So beyond the brownies, I also said that I made a little bit of that fruit leather.
Yeah.
Which was, in my opinion, only okay.
You lose a little bit of the sweetness.
You definitely do. So, like, cooking it will definitely kind of break down a lot of these kind of more fragile flavonoids and things like that. And even so drying and freezing the pulp are going to be the best way to preserve the most that you can out of this fruit, and it's still not going to be perfect.
That'd probably make a great jam.
It does make a great jam. I did make a jam. I did not bring it, Steve. I'm sorry.
Right. No, that's cool. The good thing about jams is that they're good for a while.
They are good for a while. We will have an opportunity to share it.
Excited to try them later.
My class, however, this previous Saturday, I did have a foraging class, actually in the same place that we're recording right now, because it's a really awesome spot. Excuse me. I served them some persimmon jam, so they got to enjoy it, and hopefully some of them are listening to the show and can attest to how wonderful that jam is, and someday you will too.
Yeah, I'm so jealous of them.
Yeah, it was great. We ate pawpaw, we ate persimmon jam, I had deviled eggs with some chicken of the woods powder sprinkled on top, and then I garnished it with a pickled spruce tip, and those ended up like way better than I thought they would be. They were like pretty sublime.
They sound good.
And then the persimmon brownies. So I know that recipe because I made those persimmon brownies, or my wife made the persimmon brownies for the class. So
yeah, for any of you that are listening to this, like, dang, jealous, so am I, and we can both be less jealous next time Michael does a class. Just sign up.
Yeah, definitely. You can follow us on our Instagram pages, Wild Edible World Pod, and interact with us there.
Yeah, we can hang out there.
Yeah. What's your tag?
Oh, mine is Snoop Doggy Dogwood. That's where you can find me on the gram, as it were.
Yeah.
And yeah, we can hang out there.
Yes, sir. And you can message me if you're interested in my classes at edible_Illinois, like the state. The S is silent. But until then, I think we're going to finish up for this episode. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
We cannot wait to see, to figure out and provide you guys with another exciting episode of our fun podcast where we bring you the best food that you can find trailside, curbside, and low tide.
Low tide.
I have been your host, the Sugar Plum Fairy.
And the Dios Pyros Maniac, Steve.
Dios Pyros Maniac.
Maniac. He's a maniac, this guy.
Oh, it's always lovely hanging out with you, Steve.
Yeah, dude, it's a blast. And thank you, all our listeners. It's cool to hang out with you folks as well.
Yep. Persimmons are awesome. Check them out. Try and find some. Enjoy them. And then send us some pictures of your face just covered in mushy, sugary goodness.
Absolutely. Please deal? Do that.
Deal? Is it a deal? It's a deal. All right. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.